Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
I'm praying. These are the words of Isaiah, the prophet, 700 years before Jesus' birth. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which we know means what? God with us. Do you believe that? For the last 2 weeks, we've been in a sermon series called Anno Domini. We have been looking at things that by Jesus' birth, life, and death, he has split. We know that his birth split time as we view it today, right? B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Whether or not you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, like we do, our calendars were split by his birth. We talked in week one about how he split humanity, right? That's what Christmas is all about. It's the miracle of God himself entering into humanity, that Jesus, who was God and is God, became like a man, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, God in human flesh, the incarnation, the miracle of God splitting humanity, divinity becoming dust. Last week we saw how when Jesus died on a cross, the earth shook, right? Rocks split, the sky turned dark. Of course that happened. All of creation was created through Jesus, so it makes sense that when he died, all of creation would mourn, would be shaken, would react, right? The veil in the temple between the Holy of Holies and the outer court was split. The veil was torn, not from man tearing it from the bottom up, but from heaven tearing it from the top to the bottom. It was God saying that now, through Jesus, everyone can come into the presence of a holy God and find forgiveness. You can have your guilt, your sin, your shame washed away forever and enjoy a new relationship with the God of the universe. We know that by his death and through his resurrection, sin and death were defeated. He said on the cross, "It is finished. It is accomplished." What was accomplished? The power of death being broken, the power of the grave being emptied, the power of darkness being shattered, hell being put on notice. You will not win. It's Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, giving his life, but saying at the same time triumphantly, "I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to death and Hades in my hand." Today, in the year of the Lord's favor, we have life eternal available through him. We have freedom from sin. There's nothing in your life today, nothing in your past today that has power over you, that you have to stay in a prison. Nothing for the rest of your life can hold you there. Jesus holds the keys to those doors, right? To death, to Hades, and to everything and anything else that would seek to imprison you today. Addiction, shame, curses, family curses, labels, right? He split those bars wide open and has made a way for you to walk through those gates. My friends, he is the gate. That's what we celebrate this season. Our Lord made a way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Through him and only through him can we now come to the Father. That is what this is all about. My friends, Jesus didn't come to just put his name on a calendar, though, right? He didn't just come to split dates in our history. Jesus came to split your story. Do you get that? Please hear that. We've been talking about all the things that Jesus split, but Jesus came to split your story. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it does not say about him, you will call his name the Christ, right? The Lord, and he is going to totally transform the Gregorian, Julian calendars. No, when he was born, he was given the name Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. My friends, he came so that my life could have a BC, a before Christ. He came so that your life could have a BC before Christ and an AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, the year of our Lord's favor, right? BC, we were hopeless and helpless, stuck in our own ways, stuck in our own sin, spiritually separated from God, unable to have a relationship with the Holy One. But then we had an AD, and our lives would be totally changed, radically restored. Jesus came with grace and mercy and forgiveness. He brought me out of spiritual death, filled me with a brand new life. He brought me into a relationship with himself. He put me in the right mind, gave me truth, gave me his spirit, gave me a church family, gave me a calling, gave me a gift, gave me a purpose and a hope of forever with him and all those who have loved him. Amen? That's my AD. Do you have an AD? Or are you stuck in BC? My friends, there is no doubt that Jesus split history. The only question that really matters is, has he split your story? Because the tragedy of all tragedies would be to come around this Christmas season and hear about this God who came and dwelled among us and died on a cross for us and yet remain in our sin, separated from him. It's a new year, right, that we're looking at. I wonder if there's anyone in our gathering that feels like you need a new start. Maybe you need a better relationship with the God of the universe, or maybe you've never had one and you just need to have a real relationship with God. You need a spiritual beginning. You need a new date in your story. I want to ask you, do you have an AD? I want to ask you, does your AD, though, look different than your BC? Does your AD look different than before Christ? Because there's too many Christians, right, that both look the same. There hasn't been a radical change. There hasn't been a radical transformation. Have you had that radical change in your life? Have you had that baptism moment, right, where you go down under the water, which symbolizes what? That you die. Die to yourself. Deny yourself, right? And you come up out of that water into what? A new life. Have you had that moment in your life? That BC to AD moment where everything changed, where you said, I am now going to live for Christ with all that I am. I want you to just ask yourself that today. I want you to examine your own life today. Are you stuck living in your old life? Or have you had that encounter with Jesus Christ and he called you, follow me, and you left everything to do that? I was at a basketball game Friday night. I won't tell you about Saturday night because I got a little dumb. But Friday night, I was at a basketball game, and I saw this kid in front of me, probably late teens, early 20s, and he had a sweatshirt on, and on the front of the sweatshirt, he had three crosses. I was like, whoa, that's cool. And on the back was a salvation prayer, and I was like, that's gutsy for a young kid to be wearing something like that to a basketball game. And then he stood up and he was moving around, and I saw his watch. And I don't know, but his watch looked like a $25,000 Rolex. And I'm like, boy, that kind of sends quite the different message. Kind of sends two messages, right? Kind of sends a message that he's living for Christ, wants people to accept Christ, but he's also at the same time living for this world. I don't know. It could have been fake. Heck, I was in here last week in a red suit with nutcrackers on it, right? It just, to me, sent two messages, two different ones. I don't, like I said, I don't have a clue where that person stands. I could totally be wrong. He might not be living for the world at all. It might just be something funny he was wearing. But I wonder about the rest of us, because there's many Christians who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, but are unwilling to make him their Lord. And they're trying to live for their own kingdom today instead of seeking his. They're trusting Jesus to save him, but they are not following him. They see Jesus headed in that direction, but that is not a path that they want to follow in. They would not say that they are a disciple of Jesus. What about you? Are you committed to being a disciple of Jesus? Would you call yourself that today? Or are you just a person that attends church and is just trusting that he's going to save you in the end? Have you committed to live for him, to align your life with what this teaches, right? Can you just wrestle with that this morning and ask yourself that this morning? I think that's one of the greatest things that you could do before the start of this new year, right? Am I going to live for his kingdom, or am I going to seek my own kingdom? It's a great question to have for all of us, right? Even if you think you're seeking his kingdom, am I really? Am I going to try and learn from Jesus the way that he wants me to live according to his word, or am I going to just live how I want to live? Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24, no one No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, and I don't think we just need to limit it to money right there. The Word of God says you cannot serve two masters. It is the ultimate frustration in life to try to do that. I've spent way too many years in that place. You will never find peace, never find contentment. But my friends, that's where too many of us are today. Do you know what the call to follow Christ looks like? Do you have an image of what the call to follow Christ looks like? Do you know what it costs? Jesus tells us, right? He told us up front. It's recorded in Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple, is that what you want? Must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. The call to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to deny yourself, die to yourself by picking up your cross, an instrument of death, doing that daily, right, and follow him. Do you know the direction he's heading? Do you know the direction he's heading? You learn that by being in this. You learn that by being in prayer and listening instead of talking and asking for things and seeking His will and His kingdom, right? Do you see how that verse starts off? Whoever wants, some translation says, if anyone would come after me, if anyone. That's the question for us in this new year. Are we going to follow Christ? Or are we just going to do our own things? I just want to be very real with you. If your AD looks the same as your BC, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Right? What am I doing here? You could do other things than be in this church service. You could be sleeping in. You could be getting ready to watch a football game. If you don't see spiritual growth in your life, what are we doing here? Too many American Christians look the same BC as they do AD. Do you take His name in vain? Do you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ and yet not deny yourself? Not pick up your cross and follow Him? You just keep walking your own way? Don't take His name in vain. The call on each and every one of us, the good news, is a call to follow Him. And it's the most exciting path you could ever take in your life. It's the scariest, right? It's the hardest, but it's the most exciting path, and it's filled with His peace, His joy, His contentment. And I want you to follow that. I want you to be on that path. The call is there. Can you wrestle with that? Can you just wrestle with it, man? Lord, I don't want to go on that path because it seems painful. But Lord, I also love You, and I remember what You did for me. Can you just have an honest conversation with God about that and surrender every area that He calls you to surrender to Him? Do you want to be the same? Do you want to keep on this path of spiritual growth, this non-existent path, or do you want to be transformed, right? You can't transform yourself, but by spending time in His presence, you can be transformed. The question is, will you disciple yourself? Will you discipline yourself in order to do that? Remember, it's that one thing. We all need an AD in our journey. Mine came when I lost everything, right? That's what it took for me because I was hard-hearted, stubborn. A person that was coming to church on Sundays because that's what was expected of me, but I had no real relationship with the God of the universe. I was trusting Him to save me, but He was not my Lord. I was dead. But I lost everything. And that's when I found Him. And that's when He sanctified me. He set me apart. He put me on His path, right? He said, follow me, James. And that's the path I've been on since then. Have I fallen off that path? Yeah. But I'm committed to that path. I'm committed to getting back on that path. Did I fall 100 times? Yeah, but you know what? I'm falling less and less and less because He's transforming me, not because of anything I'm doing. I'm spending time in His presence. The same can be for you. This is a story of Jesus, my friends, a story of BC and AD in our lives. It's seen all throughout scriptures, right? Do you remember Jesus is traveling through Samaria? Do you remember that time when He stops at a well and sits down? John 4, beginning at verse 6, halfway through it. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to Him, You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. My friends, that's what it looks like to chase after this world. It's to drink water and continually be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water dwelling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Would you be willing to say that today? So that I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. Oh man, this woman's BC was a mess, right? We know the story. She made so many mistakes. She was looked down in her community, right? But she comes to the well and she encounters Jesus Christ. Do you remember the first time you encountered Jesus? Encounters the source of living water. That's what's available, my friends. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husbands. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. In an instant, she realizes that this is more than just a man, right? This man knows me. He asks her that question about her husband, not to make her feel ashamed, but to point her towards what her heart really longed for. Right? It's what she was searching for in her soul, right? And that was himself, the source of living water for her soul. In the span of one meeting, one conversation, her life was radically changed, transformed. It was split BC to AD. Her AD looked totally different, right? So different that she went back to the place of her shame, to her community with this incredible news. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Told me everything I did. Who? Do you get that? If somebody told you everything you did, you'd think that'd be the worst news in the world, right? But it was the greatest because he took what was meant for shame and turned it to hope. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She's testifying, right? He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. This woman had a BC that was broken, right? She left the well AD, though. I have found the one my heart, my soul has been longing for. I've been looking for this person all my life. Some of you are thirsty and you're looking for this world to satisfy you, and it never will. That thing that you so desperately want, you can get it and it still won't satisfy you. Are you thirsty? There's a guy named Zacchaeus. Do you remember him? Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. How many of you are searching for that? If only I had 10 Bitcoin, whatever it is. This was his BC, self-made man. He had all the money he needed. What does he need with this preacher guy? What does he need with this rabbi, this teacher? Something was missing from his life. So because he was shorter, he climbs up a tree, right? He wanted to get eyes on Jesus and see who he was, but he didn't realize that Jesus already had eyes on him. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this, and what did they do? They began to mutter, right? He's gone to be with the guest of a sinner. Obviously, this Jesus isn't a religious teacher, because if he was, he definitely wouldn't associate with this guy, this tax collector, this sinner. Little did they know, though, right? It was the exact reason that Jesus came. He came to be on a planet filled with sinners. He came to save people from their sins, and that's why he has the name Jesus. In another conversation, in another meeting, right, everything changed for Zacchaeus, BC to AD. So powerful was that change that verse 8, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That's the power of how the gospel works, right? Zacchaeus went up a tree, BC, came down that tree, AD. That's the power of Jesus to split our stories. Go through God's word, and you'll see one after another of him splitting stories. John 9, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. Verse 6, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it in the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. The religious leaders asked the man, "Who was this guy that healed you?" And he goes, "I don't know. All I know is I was blind, but now I see," right? I was BC, and now I'm AD. Do you have a story like that? Do you have a story where you were headed in one direction, blind, but then you encountered Jesus Christ, and he said, "Follow me," and you started heading in that other direction, and you can finally see? Do you have an AD in your life? I hope you do, right? I hope you count the cost and choose to follow him. Jesus came to split stories and change lives, and he wants to do that for every one of us that are in here today. The greatest need of everyone is to go from spiritual death to spiritual life, right? And only one person can do that. Jesus proclaimed to be that person. This is what he said about himself, John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." And this is the part that struck me this time. "And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And then he asks, "Do you believe this?" Maybe I need to ask that. Do you believe this? Right here, right now. Maybe a better question is, are you living this? Because it says, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Is your AD headed in a different direction than your BC? Who are you living for? Is it yourself? Is it your way? Or are you surrendering to what the Word of God says, to one who calls you? Can we all just wrestle with that this coming year? Can we all ask ourselves, am I living for myself, or am I living for him, the one who saved me? In a minute, we're going to have communion. It's a great time to wrestle with that before you take part in that. Can we ask ourselves, what would it look like for me to pick up my cross? What would it look like for me to deny myself? Am I doing that? Holy Spirit, where am I off in that? What needs to change in my life? And then make a decision to either surrender that, right, or ignore it? Can we ask ourselves, what would it look like for me to have sight from him? How crazy would it be for us to continue to walk in darkness, right? He's given me his light. He's given me the light of his word. How crazy it would be for a Christian, for somebody who calls themselves a follower of Christ, not to be in his word. A lot of us finished up the year, had it made it one time through. It's a new year. Man, there's things on the back tables back there. There's Bible reading plans you can read through chronologically. You can read through kind of book by book. Get in his word, right? There's Bibles back there. You can take them. You can steal them. They're free. You can't steal them. They're free. They're life application Bibles. They have study notes in them. They'll help you understand what you're reading. Could you imagine being a follower of Christ and yet not being in his word? Regularly, daily. Daily, pick up your cross, right? That's what it might feel to you at first when you start a Bible reading plan, like you're picking up a cross. But I guarantee you it will become a joy. It will become a source of strength and peace for your life. Guaranteed, right? My friends, he's calling you to follow him. But you're going to have to let go of everything because you can't serve two masters. You're going to have to deny yourself and pick up your cross if you want to follow him. You're going to have to align yourself to what you read in there, right? And wrestle with things. Lord, I don't want to forgive that person. You're going to have to change my heart, right? Spend time with him, and he will change your heart to where you can do that. You're going to have to be committed to prayer. Committed not to just asking God for things. That's not prayer. That is not prayer. Prayer is being committed to listening to what he has to say. You should spend a lot more time listening than you do speaking when you're praying. If you do that, he'll speak to you. He'll call you. He'll call you to do things, right, that you're going to have to wrestle with. I was listening to a guy, and he said that he was in prayer, and he was talking to God, and God said, hey, I want you to forgive this person. And he said, you know, I've forgiven this person. And he goes, I want you to bless this person. He goes, I will not bless this person. I'll forgive him, but I'm not blessing him. That was the wrestling that needs to happen, though, for us. He's going to call you to do things that you don't want to do. And you got to make a decision. You have to be willing to deny yourself if you're going to follow his path, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to be committed to a body, to a fellowship, right? Committed to serving. That's what he did. If you're going to follow him, you're going to have to serve. You're going to have to be committed to giving, to using your gifts and your talents for the mission. What's the mission? To see people reconciled with God. That's the mission. Are you committed to that? Do you even really care about your neighbors, about your coworkers, and where they're going to spend eternity? Is that even on your radar? Right? We should be committed to the mission, to being all about that. Determined to seek him this coming year and be transformed by him, to be determined to be led by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you if you take the time to listen, but we're often just too busy. Listen for the Holy Spirit and do what he calls you to do. Recommit your life to him today, or commit it to him. Commit it to following him, right? Am I living the way I should be? Am I honoring God with my life? Am I following him, or am I living for me? Those are great questions for this year. Like I said, we're going to have communion. And before you participate in that, I want you to wrestle with some things that maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting you. Whatever that is, whatever he's calling you to lay down, whatever he's calling you to pick up, whatever he's calling you to do, whatever it is, would you just spend some time in prayer before you take communion? And do just that. Make a decision. Am I going to follow him, or am I going to keep living for myself? Joshua 24:15. Oh, I love this. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorite, right? Or the American gods in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You got to make a decision. Is that you or is that not you? Will you wrestle with that? Especially this is a great time of the year. Will you wrestle with that? Will you wrestle, am I a disciple? Am I a follower of Christ? Or have I just taken the name on as a Christian in vain? You got to make a decision. Man, the ultimate thing for a pastor is we want people to follow Christ. We want people to be on mission. But so many people just come, and they're not on mission. And we want that for you because we want you to know what a difference that makes in your life. We be committed to that. That's the question. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, in a minute, we're going to have communion, and we're going to give you all honor and praise, Lord. You commanded us to do this in remembrance of you and in honor of you. Father, I pray that we would be wrestling right now and deciding whether or not we are your followers or we are not. Father, I know that there's an enemy that's going to speak lies into their lives and tell them, you're no good, you don't deserve to follow him, you don't deserve this, you've done too much stuff wrong. But Father, we remember there was a thief on the cross that had a BC to AD moment that just simply said, remember me. Father, we know that it's not about us and what we've done or ever will do. We can never earn eternity with you, but it is about you dying on a cross for us, dying to pay the debt for our sins. And Father, we just want to make a commitment right now to live for you, to deny ourselves and honor you with the way that we live our lives from here on out. Father, I pray that we would all make that decision. I pray that you would transform us to look more like you. Father, I pray that you would remove all the ugliness from us, all the selfishness, Lord, all that stuff. Father, teach us to deny ourselves. Father, let us align ourselves to your word. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen.